I bought $50 worth of tickets. That's 50 tickets. And I bought those because I had had a commission check come through with gave me a bunch of cash, and it was so high that I just decided, hey, I might as well give it a whirl and try $50. I'd never done that before. And one of those $50 things won.
I certainly did.
Actually were having, the day I bought the ticket, we were having dinner with our family here at our house. And interestingly enough, we got to talking about what would you do if you won the lotto. And, of course, we never turned on the television or the radio. We never check. I never check it anyway, way.
Just before we get to that stage, Joe, had you been playing the lottery for years? And how much money in your household? Were you relatively well off, rich, poor? What's the setup?
Well, to answer your question first, I'd play the lottery when it got big. I didn't play it all the time, just when it got to be a large one.
Okay.
And secondly, we were pretty well off, but we had started some businesses, and we were having some, you know, little problems as far as, you know, meeting payrolls and things of that nature. So we weren't really, I was pretty well off from an income standpoint, but we were actually investing more, perhaps, than I had coming in. So we were a little bit crunched at that time.
How did you choose your numbers for these 50 tickets?
I let the computer do it. It's what we call a quick pick. And in fact, the next morning after we had had this dinner, you know, with our kids, and of course everybody said what they were going to do with the lottery winnings if they won. And one of our kids said, "Well, I wouldn't want to win because it would change us." And so I kind of laughed at that. But the next morning, I had gotten up, and I have an office at home as well as a regular office, and I had gotten up about 3 in the morning to do some work. And then about 7 o'clock in the morning, I went out and got the paper, and I thought, well, hey, look, I'm going to check and see what the lotto did. So I went, I took a look, and I got the lotto numbers, and I checked all 50 tickets. And by the time I got through about 20 tickets, you know, you never win. So I keep going along with the tickets, and all of a sudden, this popped up. All the numbers were right. And at first, you don't believe it. You know, you have to keep going over it.
Put words to the sensation inside your brain when you're looking at those numbers and they're matching what's in the newspaper.
Right. Okay. In my brain, I'm hoping it's true, but my stomach has all of a sudden receded into my tush.
So, tell him what you did, dear.
But then I went upstairs and I talked to Sue, and she was getting ready to go to a friend's funeral, and I said to her, I said, you know, Sue, I think I've won the lotto. And I brought the paper up and showed it to her, and she said, well, she says, what does the QP mean on the end? There was, besides the numbers, there was QP, and it means quick pick. That's what you do when you let the computer pick it for you. And I didn't know what the QP meant. So I said, I don't know. And she said, well, she said, you probably haven't won much. Well, I went back down to my desk, you know, thinking, you know, I've lived with this one for many, many years. And, of course, when she says, you probably haven't won much.
I said, you probably won $100.
Yeah, I believe her.
So you weren't excited then. You'd won $363 million. And Sue sent you on your way.
Yes, my enthusiasm was dampened by her response.
Why didn't you believe him, Sue?
Oh, who could? Please, Stephen, who could believe that? And it was not possible, and I just dismissed it and went on continuing to get ready to go to, it was actually the mother of a friend of mine's funeral, and I was getting prepared for that, and he comes back upstairs again, and he said, Sue, I've just been listening to the radio, and they said that the ticket was sold at this gas station where he bought the ticket, and he said, and they say it was sold exactly at the time I was there. So then I began to believe a little bit, but believe me, Stephen, you do not ever accept this. I did not accept it until 2 weeks later when we finally called the Illinois Lottery Commission.
Well, hold on a second. 2 weeks later, Joe, on earth did you do for 2 weeks?
Well, first of all,
I talked to my dog a lot.
Yeah, Sue talked to her dog. First of all, I called my lawyer, and we went down there and discussed the winnings with her and her senior partner. And then we were going to meet with them two nights later. And before I finished, I asked the senior lawyer, how do you charge for this? And he said, well, we'll tell you that on for Friday night or Thursday night when we get together. And so he came over along with my accountant, and we had a big dinner at our house, and we all sat down, and the lawyer finally said, now here's what you have to do. And he's very, very obnoxiously outspoken, as some lawyers can be. And he was telling my kids that what they can and can't do, they have to keep their pants zipped. He said that my daughter-in-law, he said to her, well, you just got in under the wire. The rest of them, he said, you know, you really got to watch yourself. He wanted us to almost put a fortress around our house. I mean, it was way overkill. And then when I asked him how much he wanted for this, and he gave me a number, it was just ridiculous. So I fired him within 2 days.
Oh, right.
Okay.
No messing about with multimillionaire Joe and Sue anymore. What?
Yeah, anyway, I had my accountant advise me, and I got some advice from other attorneys. We called one of Sue's cousins, who was the vice president of a trust. He was vice president of a bank trust department, and he was a lawyer. And so he advised us to seek another lawyer's help, an estate lawyer, downtown Chicago.
And what you ended
up
doing?
We went down there.
Yeah, what
with all this advice, I finally was able to feel good enough about coming out.
But what you ended up doing in between, Joe, was I believe you took the ticket into the bank and put it in a safety deposit box.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, I had it put in a safety deposit box. And then...
There's a lovely story. Sorry to interrupt, Joe. There's a lovely story, Sue, about when you're then in the dentist because you'd been eating... You'd been eating toffee. I don't know if it was with the nerves or what. Talk me through this, Sue.
Well, I had a filling come out, and I had to go make an emergency trip to the dentist. And the dentist's office is in the same town that where Joe bought the ticket.
And this is before you'd revealed you were the winner, by the way. So nobody knew you'd the winner. You were the winner.
No, we absolutely would not tell anyone. But in my dentist's office... he was, you know, working in my mouth, had his fingers in there, and he kiddingly said, so Sue, when are you going to go and pick up your lottery winnings? And I almost bit his fingers.
So he had been...
I mean, it took me, you know, a few seconds to realize he's kidding, but he doesn't know how close he came to losing at least 2 to 3 of his fingers.
So,
you know, there's some other interesting things. If you want to hear about this, the first day when we finally realized that we had won, Sue was ready to go off to this funeral, but it was still early in the morning. So I called my kids who were in the brewery. We have a brewery, and they were bottling beer at the time. So one of my boys got on the phone, and I said, John, I said, you know, everybody's looking around for this guy who won the lottery. And he says, yeah. He said, I listened to that. And I said, well, I know who he is. And he says, yeah. And I said, yeah. I said, it's me. And there was absolute silence on the phone. And he said, Dad, no effing way.
So you eventually have to come forward. And you contact, presumably, whatever it is, the lotto company. It was called the Big Game then. It's now named Mega Millions, isn't it?
It was called the Big Game
Big
then.
Game. Yeah, there were 7 states that participated
right.
in it.
And we had gone to actually, during this whole 2-week period, Chicago was going crazy, trying to figure out who was this person who won. You know, and people were making bets, and people were saying, well, we know who won because he was in that place just the same time, and, you know, a lot of different things, crazy things going on. We finally went to our accountant's office. We were going to come out, and we called a lottery. And unknown to myself, and also I would guess to a lot of other people, over and above the numbers on the ticket, there on the backside, there's also an identifying number. So when he called the lotto, they asked him for the identifying number on the back, and he gave it to them. And they said, well, that's the winner. So then I had to talk to them. And basically, we just agreed that we would turn over the ticket to them somehow. Well, finally, we didn't accomplish that at that point in time, but at the next day or so, the lottery called me and they wanted me to bring the ticket down.
And what's it like walking literally in your hand with a ticket that's worth $363 million?
Very nervously.
Exactly. Do you know what I'm just thinking when asking that question? My mobile phone in my hand now is worth a couple of hundred dollars. And if I have it in my hand and I'm thinking to myself, no, I can't lose that. I can't lose that. Where is that stupid phone? Oh, for goodness sake, where is it? What was it like walking with $363 million?
Well, now, excuse me, just before you go any further, Stephen, that was the value of the lottery, but we split it with another family.
Ah.
So we only got $183 million, I believe.
Only. Right. It doesn't really change the question, Sue, does it? What's
another
it like?
Another family in Michigan, interestingly enough, who had a family business the way we have a family business, they won the other half. But they came forward immediately, and they ended up, you know, going on all the talk shows and everything.
Sure.
But while we are just trying to decide what we're going to do with our life.
Let me fast forward, if you don't mind, to when you get the money. How do you start deciding what you want in life when you can have anything in life?
Well, first of all, Stephen, we are not a family who likes things. And things like cars and boats and all this stuff has never meant anything to us. And what we wanted to do with this money, we knew right away we wanted to invest it in, Joe has a medical supply company. And then we had started this small microbrewery. And our dream was to hopefully someday have it be successful enough to be able to build our own pub. Well, that was something we were able to do within 2 years of winning. We purchased property on a lake, and we now have an absolutely beautiful English Irish pub there.
Ah.
If you ever get to Chicago, you're going to have to come and see it.
Please, you can be our guest at our pub.
Well, do you know what? I love America so much. You have no idea.
Ah.
You have no idea the trouble you've just got yourselves into, because exactly 2 hours ago, I went to Santa Monica last year and Las Vegas and all of that. And 2 hours ago, I was sitting with my best friend and we were planning where we would go to in America come this October, November. So I just might be paying you a visit.
Well, please do. We would love
that. That would be wonderful, yeah. But our place is truly, it looks like an English pub or an Irish pub. And we brew our beer. Our oldest son is our brewer, and we brew some outstanding beers. And we have a restaurant there, and we also have an area in the back where we have a beautiful patio, a 10-acre lake, and we're going to be having a hop farm right in the back of the lake. So that was our dream, and we were able to make that come true. It took Joe and I a year to get new cars because we just don't care about cars. And the thing that was the most exciting about all of this, beyond being able to build our pub and our restaurant, was to start a family foundation. And we did that within 2-3 months of winning. And we have had the most amazing 11 years with that, Stephen. We have my husband, Joe, is on the board of directors of Operation Smile. Do you know Operation Smile?
Tell me about it, please.
All right. We do facial reconstructive surgery on children all over the world.
Fantastic.
Joe and I went to Africa on a mission, and we're able to participate in some surgeries that were just absolutely amazing and incredible. It was the most outstanding experience of our lives.
This is on children with cleft palates, right?
Yes, it is.
Cleft palates and cleft lips.
Operation Smile goes into these countries. We are now, I believe, in 52 or 53 countries.
52 countries, right.
All over the world. And we not only bring our own surgeons with us, we train people there in the countries, the doctors and the nurses, train them to do these cleft palates. Because many of them are just routine, but there are a few that are quite unusual and quite demanding. But while we were there, we came across a little girl who was only 3 days old, who had been born with her face split in two, literally.
She had a bilateral facial cleft, and her face was split, as Sue says, right down the middle, and it was perfectly symmetrical on each side.
So to make a long story short, we brought her to the States when she was 2 years old because they couldn't do any surgeries on her before she became two. And she went through an 18-hour surgery, which we got to see part of. And they reconstructed her face, Stephen. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. We brought her back here when she was six, I believe it was, and she had her final surgery. And she now is an absolutely beautiful young girl.
The mission that Operation Smile has is not only to go in country with various doctors from around the world, but as Sue said, to train the doctors who are there in that country so that there can be sustainability to the process of doing these operations.
And it strikes me from just something you just said, that you had that foundation set up before you bought yourselves new cars.
So you got
all of this money, and one of the first things you did was to set something up for other people.
Right. I'll just give you an idea. When you finally bring all the numbers down, we decided to take a lump sum, so that cuts what you get in half. And so by this, we received actually $92 million.
And then comes Uncle Sam.
Then comes Uncle Sam. So you reduce down to about $53 million by that time. So of that $53 million, we put $5 million into a foundation, and we became one of the largest foundations in the country at that point in time.
No longer, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole bottom line to all of this, Stephen, is that we have just had a lot of fun with this, and we have a family that are all hard. We have three boys, and they're all really, really hard workers, and two of them are involved in our, you know, our pub and our restaurant. It's just been, there haven't been any negatives. Now, that may sound like it's not the truth, but it honestly is.
True.
I think that a lot of it has to do with your attitude toward money and things in the first place.
Yeah.
And they never really mattered to us. This was just fun.
We still live in the same house, Steve.
Yeah, we're still in the same house 11 years later.
You haven't bought yourselves a mansion.
No.
It's not a mansion.
In fact, we have a wonder. We live on a little lake, and I'm looking out the window right now of our living room, and there's snow all over. It's absolutely beautiful. And we have grandchildren now, and they just love coming here. So it may sound corny, but this is all true.
Well, do you know, yeah, Joan Sue, how I know what you're telling me is true? Because I've been doing this job for quite a long time, and you can just tell with people. And
I think that's true.
And it's been just a real pleasure talking to you two, because the biggest compliment I can pay you is not that you're multimillionaires. I don't care. It is that you are clearly decent, good people. If anybody's to receive that money, wasn't it great that you two did?
Well,
you sound like lovely people.
We were just giving an interview to you, weren't we? Not on any... are we on any kind of radio or anything?
Oh, you just might be, Joe.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, tell them to come to Chicago and come to the Onion Pub and Brewery.
Okay. Well, listen.
Stephen, you're welcome. Please don't lose our phone number here at home. And when you get to the States, plan to visit Chicago and come see us at our pub, please.
We have a guest house right across the street from ours here on the lake.
Well, listen, I'll only come if you're not charging a lot. If you're charging big bucks, I'll not come anywhere near it.
It's yours to use if you come.
Listen, lovely, lovely to talk to you both. And thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Stephen. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Say hello to all of our friends in Britain.
And come to the Onion. Okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.